On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, baseball notches another sweep, the football team hits the fields again, and March Madness is here. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 139 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And y'all, we made it. We have made it. I hope y'all are as excited as I am. I know y'all are. It's March Madness. We have made it. For any sports fan, particularly college sports fans, but anyone that likes excitement, drama, potentially winning cash, this is our moment. I mean, honestly, there are not many better times out of the sporting calendar. You know, I mean, I get excited literally like a little kid on Christmas for the opening week of college football. That week one, it does feel like Christmas. But March Madness comes at a perfect time where you're starved for that like excitement, that postseason drama. It really signifies that, you know, spring is here. You've made it out of the winter slumber. The tournament is heating up. You got your brackets ready. I love just printing out the bracket. You know, I know we have to fill it in on the app and everything, but there is something to be said about filling out a physical bracket, doing it 10 times, crumbling it up, and then hating yourself when your pick that you had a week ago that you were convinced was going to hit, that you convinced yourself not, does. It's just so much excitement. I'm so ready. This is the year. I'm going to win my bracket pool this year. I'm putting it out into the universe. I need to. Last time I did that was honestly like 15 years ago, just a ridiculously long time ago for luck when I really was like had no idea what I was doing. So I'm due. I'm going to put it out there into the universe, but it is a fantastic time of year. Obviously, for a South Carolina fan's point of view, we are very focused as well on the women's tournament, where our ladies will be the number one overall seed and playing later in the week for their first and second round matchups. I will, of course, dive into all of that preview, crow to the game, highlights. That will be next episode. We'll spend a little bit more time honing in on their matchups and looking at a potential path to a deep run in the tournament yet again. But buckle up. Let the games begin. It's going to be nonstop action. If you have sick days, use them. If you have a couple of days off to spare, use them. If you can push an assignment off to next week, do that. Clear your calendars for Thursday and Friday. You earned it. You deserve it. Just watch basketball. Starting, I mean, you can really start with those first four game in, what's that, Wednesday? So you can start early and just get a full week of college basketball craziness. I absolutely love it here. But turning my focus back to USC sports, let's look at a weekend in review before I jump into the baseball team here. So Sunday, there was no action. It was crappy weather and then the scheduling. So looking back at Friday, you have men's tennis beat Alabama 7-0. Absolutely. I mean, they're also having a fantastic season as well. Beach volleyball, they were in action twice on Friday. They beat Stephen F. Austin 4-1. Quick sidebar. The only reason I know of Stephen F. Austin is because of March Madness. They had that crazy upset or two a couple of years back, and ever since then, I've just always remembered that school. So you remember schools like this because of March Madness. And then beach volleyball also beat Stenson 3-2. And then looking at Saturday, Saturday was a little bit of a tough go at it for USC sports. Women's tennis lost to Florida 4-1. Softball cooled off and lost to LSU 9-1. Beach volleyball lost to Tulane 3-2, but then turned around and beat UNCW 5-0. So sort of a mixed bag from the weekend here, but there was a lot of action nonetheless. Also, looking ahead to this upcoming week, the football team is back in action. They are hitting the practice fields in time for spring ball. So get the spring practices that will, of course, lead up to the spring game next month. And this is always a fun time of year. I mean, first off, anytime you get to read up and see tweets and get press conferences from the football team, it's great, whether it's spring, summer, fall. But this is kind of when you see who might be emerging as a potential new playmaker. Is it someone like a transfer like an Eddie Lewis? Is it a freshman like Pup Howard? But there are different guys on the team that you normally start to hear grumblings in spring. Like, oh, this guy's looking good. He could be good for us on special teams. Or this guy, this transfer here, could be really big for us on the offensive line. And then in the summer, a lot of that can be solidified. But then it's also going to be the real first reportings of Dowell Loggins. And what is his offense looking like? How are the players taking to it? Is it truly easier to digest? Are they able to communicate? How long is the install going to take? And we're going to see some of this in the spring game. But as we know, just from being college football fans, the spring game is not always indicative of what your team is going to look like, especially offensively. Teams don't like to put a whole heck of a lot on tape, especially when you have a big week one matchup like South Carolina does. So it's going to be interesting to see. You're going to have to do some reading between the lines if you are able to catch up on any articles or read quotes or press conferences from players and coaches. But nevertheless, the Gamecocks are back in action, building for what hopefully is going to be another big and exciting year for this football program. I mean, it's going to be fun. So really fun to see them back in action here. Which brings me to games that have been played and scores that happened. It's just baseball this weekend. Like I said, obviously the men's basketball team is done for good this year, right? There's no postseason for them. And the women are awaiting to kick off their tournament run here. So the Gamecocks took the diamond this weekend against Bethune-Cookman and notched another sweep, taking all three from Bethune-Cookman and looked pretty darn good doing it. So let's look into each game here. Friday, South Carolina won 20-3. Speaking of football, that is a football score. I mean, what did we just put up 19 against USC Upstate, only to then turn around and put up 20 on Bethune-Cookman? 20-3. I'm pretty sure we've legitimately had a recent game that was 120-3. So, wow, that is a big-time offensive explosion from the guys here. Carolina put up 9 in the fourth inning and 8 in the sixth. This game was a blowout in a hurry. You could just tell the guys were in the zone. Will Sanders was pitching very well. This is exactly the way you want to start a series and continue this momentum that we've seen really all year. But in that second half of the game, really, what was it, the fifth inning on, sixth inning, from when Carolina played Clemson in Greenville, that moment through the Sunday game of that series, through the two midweeks, and now into the Bethune-Cookman series, this team is on a tear, and they are in the zone. As I mentioned, Will Sanders pitched very well. He got the win, going six innings and allowing three earned runs. Some player highlights for y'all. Everybody. Let's just say that. Everybody, right? I mean, 20 runs? How am I going to single out a couple? But let's give this a try. Cole Messina went 2-for-3 with 4 RBI. Talmadge Lecroy, my boy, went 2-for-3 with 2 RBI. And then Dylan Brewer 1-for-2 with 5 RBI. Brewer had a pretty nice series. You'll hear me talk about him in the later game as well. But he was someone that you really wanted to see have that sort of coming out, if you will. That was someone, you know, him and Stone were two guys who I was really looking to. Can these guys show up? Can they extend the lineup? And he really has. He had a nice game overall, and he has been looking better. So hopefully, between the two of them, one of these guys can really start clicking it. So then that brings me to Saturday. Saturday turned out to be a doubleheader due to the inclement weather in Columbia on Sunday. So game one, Carolina took the victory, winning 8-5. Carolina got the scoring early in the second to take the lead, and then Bethune-Cookman did battle back. They would score a little bit here and there, but anytime they put up a run or two, the Gamecocks were able to answer back and then some. So I think it was maybe the fourth or fifth inning where Bethune-Cookman put up two, and then Carolina answered in the bottom of that inning with three. So it's, we're going to match and then raise, and it just talks to the tenacity, really, of this team and their offensive approach that they're going to take a hit and they're going to keep coming, which is just absolutely fantastic. You had a couple of instances as well in this game where Carolina scoring with some heads-up base running and taking advantage of throwing errors and things of that nature. So it's really this blended approach, which has just been so nice so far this season, where, yes, are the Gamecocks hitting a lot of home runs? Absolutely. Are they leading the country in that category? You bet your ass they are. But as much as I love that, I also love to see scoring runs in different ways. So fun to see. Noah Hall got the win here, going 5 innings, allowed 3 earned runs. James Hicks comes in and casually records a 4-inning save. Not a 4-out save, like sometimes you hear. A 4-inning save. Gamecocks used just 2 pitchers in this whole game. Very exciting there. Some player highlights. Carson Hornung went 2-for-3 with 2 RBI, and Ethan Petrie went 1-for-5 with 3 RBI. Which brings us to Game 2 on Saturday, the conclusion of the series where Gamecocks won 10-3. And this was Carolina from the word go, with USC scoring in the first inning and then turning around to score 4 in the second. And, you know, it was just steady offense throughout the game. Obviously, you're scoring 10 runs. It's so funny. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but during one of the broadcasts, they showed the offensive stats from the first, what are we, first 14, 12 games, give or take, of last year compared to this year. And really, in every major offensive category, it was a noticeable improvement. Batting average, home runs, RBI, extra base hits. And it's true. It just feels like a different team. And a lot of people are calling it the Monty Lee effect. I think we knew that he was going to have a positive influence on this ball club. And my gosh, like, has he ever? Like, geez Louise. It's just night and day. And I think he's been a very, very positive influence on Mark Kingston, on this whole clubhouse. And the guys are just approaching the game differently. They're approaching it with a different attitude. You can tell that they have no quit in them. They got that dog in them. All of them got the dog. It's a dog pound. Yeah. Love it. Jack Mahoney had a very solid day on the mound here. He got the win, going 6 innings while allowing just 2 earned runs. And I thought it was very cool and equally impressive to see that all 3 starting pitchers recorded wins in this series. And while a lot of the times we've seen 3 very good efforts, sometimes, you know, a guy gets a no decision, right? That's happened to Will Sanders, or maybe he gets tagged for a loss here or there. So to have your 3 starting pitchers all pitch very well and record the wins, is something to be celebrated. I don't care who you're playing, and it speaks to the testament of how good this pitching staff is. And then for in the first game on Saturday to bring in James Hicks, for him to go four innings and get you a save is just fantastic. Hicks is a guy who's very versatile. You can use him in that kind of spot. You can use him as a midweek starter or a spot opener, whatever the case may be. This pitching staff is dangerous. They are deep, and they are, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? Flexible? Flexible, I guess, where you have guys who can play different roles, like a Jurzenbeck or a Hicks, Matthew Becker, guys who can go multiple innings effectively. And that's very dangerous in college baseball here. Some player highlights from the finale game. Talmadge Lecroy went 2-for-3 with two ribbies. Cole Messina 1-for-3 with one RBI. And then Caleb Denny 1-for-4 with four RBI. So just a very impressive feel-good series for Carolina. And this impressive start to the year keeps up. I mean, right now, if you look at the SEC standings, Carolina is right at the top. And that's right where we should be. And is it early to get very excited by that? Yes. But last year, about this time, I think there were maybe some worries. I don't think there were, I don't know, like deep concerns. But you had a couple of bad losses. You had a couple of guys not producing. And it was just this kind of, I don't know what's going on here. Whereas this year, you're expecting to win. And you're expecting high offensive numbers. Now, that's not going to be the case every single game, as we saw in the Penn series or against, you know, that first game against Clemson, right? But this team is able to turn it on. And they are able to get that inning that just buries an opposing team. And it's so fun to watch. It's very impressive. Up next for the Gamecocks is a midweek game against Presbyterian. This is Tuesday night, I believe 7 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. That is at home, Founders Park. My crow to the game here is just keep up this steady offensive play. Death by a thousand cuts. If we can get a couple of guys rotated in, right, maybe Jonathan French, Evan Stone, Ethan Petrie continue to produce well. These guys can keep it going and produce steady offensive numbers. It's just going to be too much for a Presbyterian to keep up with. And what a way to start the week, right? Have a nice midweek game as a little appetizer for athletics. And then, bam, March Madness, and the women take the floor in their quest of another national title. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review to the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.